ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, text number 44. Yodhishthya Jankshiti Sutat Svajanartha Dharan. प्रार्थ्यां श्रियं सुरवरै सदावलोकम् नैचन्द्रदत्त उचितं महतां मधुद्वेत् सेवानुरक्तमनसामभवो विफल्गुः। यो दुष्ट्य चाङ्क्षिति सुतस्य स्वजनार्थद्वारान् प्रार्थ्यां श्रियं सुरवरै सदयावलोकाम् नैचन्द्रदस्तदुचितं महतां मधुद्वेष सेवानुरक्तमनसामभवो विफल्गुः। यो दुस्त्य चाङ्क्षिति सुतः स्वजनार्थदारान् प्रार्थ्यां श्रियं सुरवरै सदयावलोकान् नैचन्द्रपस्तदुचितं महतां मधुद्वेट् सेवानुरक्तमनसामभवो विफल्गुः। यो दुस्त्य चाङ्क्षिति सुतः स्वजनार्थदारा प्रार्थ्यां श्रियं सुरवरै सदायावलोकान् नैचन्द्रतस्तदुचितं महतां मधुद्वेत् सेवानुरक्तमनसामभवो विफल्गुः। Who? Dustyajan. Very difficult to give up. Kshiti. The earth. Sutta. Children. Swajana Artha Dharan. Relatives, riches, and a beautiful wife. Prathayam. Desirable. Shriyam. The goddess of fortune. Suravaraihi, by the best of the demigods. Sadaya avalokam, whose merciful glance, na, not, aichat, desire, nirpaha, the king. Tat uchitam, this is quite befitting him. Mahatam, of great personalities, Mahatmas. Madhudvit, of Lord Krishna. Who killed the demon Madhu. Seva Anu Raktaha. Are attracted by the loving service. Manasam, of those whose minds. Abhavaha Api. Even the position of liberation. Bhalguhu, insignificant. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear king, the activities of Bharat Maharaj are wonderful. He gave up everything difficult for others to give up. He gave up his kingdom, his wife and his family. His opulences were so great that even the demigods envied it. Yet he gave it up. It was quite befitting a great personality like him to be a great devotee. He could renounce everything because he was so attracted to the beauty, opulence, reputation, knowledge, strength and renunciation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is so attractive that one can give up all desirable things for his sake. Indeed, even liberation is considered insignificant for those whose minds are attracted to the loving service of the Lord. Purport by His Eminence Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This verse confirms Krishna's all attractiveness. Maharaj Bharata was so attracted to Krishna that he gave up all his material possessions. Generally, materialistic people are attracted by such possessions. Ato vidhakshetra sutapta vitteir janasya mohoyam aham mameti 558 Bhagavatam. One becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusion and thinks in terms of I and mine. The attraction for material things is certainly due to illusion. There is no value in attraction to material things, for the conditioned soul is diverted by them. One's life is successful if he is absorbed in the attraction of Krishna's strength, beauty and pastimes as described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Mayavadis are attracted to merging into the existence of the Lord, but Krishna is more attractive than the desire to merge. The Lord Abhavaha means not to take birth again in this material world. A devotee doesn't care whether he is going to be reborn or not. He is simply satisfied with the Lord's service in any condition. This is real mukti. Ihayasya Haryadasya Karmana Manasa Gira Nikhala Swabhi Avastasu Jeevan Mukta Sabuchyate. One who acts to serve Krishna with his body, mind, intelligence and words is a liberated person even within this material world. Bhaktisiddhanta Sindhu 1-187. A person who always desires to serve Krishna is interested in ways to convince people that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna. That is his ambition. It doesn't matter whether he is in heaven or in hell. This is called Uttama Shloka Lalasa. Om Jnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunadhanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakatpatarubhyascha Kribasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
हरे राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाभूयैर्मा पुरो विभो निर्माय शेते तमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृशीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण
Here we can see there is a change from prose to text. I think last one was also text, a verse, but I think it was written like a prose. Here also I think it is written like a prose, isn't it? That's why it creates a lot of confusion when you're reading. It's actually a verse. So it shouldn't be mixed up. It's better to write line by line. So here, we are seeing this theme of renunciation from many verses together. And the previous verse was a very classic verse showing the renunciation of Maharaj Bharata, because he has renounced everything which are very difficult, as it is mentioned in the previous verse as well as in the current verse, which is Dushtyajan. Dushtyajan means it's very difficult to give up. Tyajan means to give up. But it is Dushtyajan, means it's very difficult to give up. Very, very difficult to give up. And there is an enumeration of such things as it is given in this verse. One can see earth, wife, children, wealth, etc., etc. So he had so many things which are desirable for anyone in this material world, for any conditioned being. However, he renounced all of them. This point is mentioned in the previous verse in a very graphic fashion. That is Malavat. Just like how one just don't care about stool after evacuation. One doesn't get attached to it. One just leaves it and go. In the same way, Malavat, he renounced the most desirable things in this world. And here, Jadaharat is glorifying his own history. So here we can see the history which is running behind a couple of lifetimes. That comes to the point of importance of renunciation. At the same time, renunciation in itself doesn't have any stand. Renunciation is only a byproduct of bhakti. Renunciation is generated because of bhakti, but the contrary is not true. Renunciation cannot generate bhakti. So, bhakti can generate renunciation, but the contrary is not true. Renunciation cannot bring in bhakti. So, yes, Virakti and Jnana are two byproducts of bhakti that will follow bhakti. But just by practicing renunciation, one will never come to bhakti. This is a very important point to be understood. And so, this famous verse is quoted from 11th canto of Bhagavatam in Nectar Devotion, in the eligibility for devotional service. Because it's a very important topic. What is the eligibility to perform devotional service? So in that, Krishna himself speaks to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita. So he says, Nanurvarno Nati Sakto. So this is a very important point. Nanurvarno Nati Sakto Bhakti Yogosya Siddhyati. So what is the important point? One shouldn't be too attached to material things. If one is too attached, then one cannot come to Krishna consciousness, or one cannot take it up very seriously. That we always experience. Oh, I had to earn so much of money. I have so much of work. I have so much of desires. They may not say that, but that is running in the back of the mind. And so I will come once in a month to the temple, or once in a year to the temple. In that way, it is not possible to take up Krishna consciousness seriously. And there is no time other than working, because so much of mortgage to pay. So that is not possible. That is too attached. And we do find such kind of people, always busy. Ask you come to the temple for some program, come for the class, they say, no, if Krishna desires, I will come. Have you heard that? Because it is not because of Krishna's desire, it is because of so much of attachment. So that is one category of people. And that is Atisakta, Atyasakti, too much of attachment. Another one is Nirvrinaha, means too detached. If somebody is too detached, he also cannot take up bhakti so easily. Because such a person doesn't want the association of the devotees. Wants to live in seclusion. Hardly will we find such kind of people here. But if there are such people, they practice maybe yoga or jnana. They will not come to bhakti. So if these two are not there, one is not too attached, not too detached, then the path of bhakti is very easy. And now we can see many people are in that condition. They are not too detached for sure. You go around and see, they are not too detached. At the same time, many are very attached. But at least we can see borderline people who we can encourage to take up bhakti. So, explaining the point of detachment. Detachment is not a qualification for bhakti as such. Or renunciation is not a qualification to take up bhakti as such. If one thinks, wife, children, home, wealth, job, everything is maya. If a married person thinks like that, and then just sit in the temple, that is not really the proper practice of bhakti. You understand? It is not the proper practice of bhakti. The reason is, why one is in the temple? Because one wants to, looking for an excuse to get out from the family. That's all. So there are people like that. Family, I don't want to be with the family. That is the main reason. So detachment is the main reason, or in other words, one doesn't want to be with the family because it is a botheration. Wife is asking something, child is asking something, so many things are there. It may be his responsibility, but one wants to run away from the responsibility. So one wants to sit in the temple. So that is not real renunciation, nor is it bhakti. Similarly, we can see some of the boys who come to the temple, they sit in the temple all the time. What are they doing? Association of the devotees. Service or chanting. Courtyard chanting will not work. It cannot take us very long, right? Courtyard chanting, you know, chanting, chatting, doing this, doing that. That will not help a lot. So one may see, you know, I am a great devotee, I am spending time in the temple. Then you have to see, what am I doing in the temple? It's just sitting in the courtyard, helping this, that. Then there is sufficient socialization available if one wants, if that is the aim. Many times India have seen temples are for socialization. Socializing, that is one of the need of the people. So a pious socializing place, that becomes temple. So if that is the case, to be detached from studies or work or family, that is not really going to give us any bhakti. So one has to be very careful how we take up Krishna consciousness. And here we have examples of right renunciation, which is the product of bhakti. The bhakti has to be followed with renunciation. And what kind of renunciation is this? Here we can see the renunciation of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, as mentioned in the previous verse and in this purport, he was Uttama Shloka Lalasa. It's a very interesting phrase that is being used to describe Uttama Shloka Lalasa. Prabhupada translated as, he is so fond of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Uttama Shloka. So fond. He just wants to serve the Supreme Lord. Lalasa means there is a Lalasamai Kirtans. Narottam Das Thakur written Lalasamai Kirtan. Lalasamai means having strong longing for Krishna. Lalasamai. So that's one kind of Kirtans. You can read in Nectar of Devotion about Lalasamai. There is this intense longing for Krishna. So here we can see Bharat Maharaj had intense longing for Krishna, and so he was not interested in all these desirable things. So when renunciation is a product of bhakti, it is very attractive. Otherwise, what happens? One will show renunciation for some time, and after some time, what happens? One will go for what has been already renounced. That is flipping. One goes here, after that go to the other side. So that is lack of qualification. So one should imitate. That is imitating the real renunciants in bhakti. We will discuss about some examples of such renunciants and also why they have such renunciation. We can see the example of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit had all the power to counteract the curse by Sringi Brahmana, but he didn't do that. He accepted it as the desire of the Lord, and he went to the bank of the Ganges in the association of the devotees. He was ready to think about Krishna and leave this world. This is first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. You go to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, same Parikshit Maharaj has listened Bhagavatam for all 9 cantos without a break. No eating break, no sleeping break, nothing. And then he wants to encourage Sugadev Goswami. So he assures Sugadev Goswami that I have no thirst, I have no hunger, I have no tiredness. This is after many days. Okay. For us, half an hour we'll be looking here and there. What's happening, when the class is going to end. So tired, so sleepy. So this is our situation. Here Maharaj Parikshit wanted to assure Shukla Goswami that I don't have any material pangs, and please don't change the topic, or don't slow down, or don't make an abridged presentation. He was very clear. Please don't change the topic of Krishna, because now this is the 10th canto. He was not telling it's 10th canto, but the Krishna's topic has started. So please go on speaking about Krishna elaborately. Don't divert the topic. Don't make it a summary study. I want to hear everything. And to assure that, Maharaj Parikshit tells, look, I have no hunger, I have no thirst, and I have no tiredness. So this is the position of Maharaj Parikshit. He also did this dustyajan. Whatever things which are very difficult to give up, he gave up. Not like the modern day politicians. Hang on to the position till the last breath. They want to contest in the MP election, member of parliament election, even at the age of 90. And they complain. If they cannot contest, they complain. They want the seat, 90. And they want to become some chief ministers. Okay, right? They cannot even walk in the wheelchair, but still they are chief ministers. Till the last breath, hold on to the position. So this is Kali Yuga. Why? Because tamam dham. Why? They are blinded. Samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam. That's why Sugadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Samsarinam karunayaha. For the benefit of samsarinam, materialistic people who are blinded by ignorance. The Parikshit Maharaj was exactly the opposite. And he said, I just want to drink pibantam tun mukhamboja chutam harikathamrutam. Tat mukhamboja chutam harikathamrutam. The harikathamrutam, the nectar of, it's actually the drink, the nectarian drink of harikathamrutam, the pastimes of Krishna which are emanating from your lotus mouth, I want to drink. So this is the position of Parikshit. So we had to be very careful. And it is very interesting to see Srimad Bhagavatam, because in Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear the narration from Sugadev Goswami and as it is heard from Maharaj Parikshit, there are two tracks running primarily. There are multiple tracks, but primarily there are two tracks running. One is the pastimes of Krishna, and second is the experience of Maharaj Parikshit as he is hearing from Sugadev Goswami. Then the experience of Sugadev Goswami as he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam. So the experience of the hearer and the speaker is one line of track in Srimad Bhagavatam, and the actual pastime of Krishna in itself. Can you say the two tracks are running there? So, since the hearer and the listener are on the perfect platform, they are pure devotees, they are entering into the pastime. So, this hearer and the speaker, they are entering into the pastimes of Krishna, and Krishna is coming out from the pastime to the hearer and the speaker. So there is such an exchange running which is not ordinary. We can see this again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 21st chapter, which is a very exalted chapter, Venu Gita, there Sukadeva Goswami narrates what happened to the gopis when they heard the beautiful sound of flute of Krishna. After hearing that, it is mentioned that exalted devotees went into ecstasy and they couldn't speak. They wanted to speak, but they couldn't speak about Krishna. Because when they hear or when they are reminded of Krishna, the natural thing to do is speak about Krishna. In any condition, the natural thing to do is speak about Krishna. If they are in worry, the natural thing to do is to speak about Krishna. That's why we hear Govinda Damodara Madhavedi. That's why we hear Krishna Nama Puna Puna. They chanted Krishna's name again and again. However, they couldn't speak. And then Sukadeva Goswami assumes the mood of the gopis, and then he chants this famous verse of Barhapitam. You might have heard this verse, Barhapitam Nadavaravapu. He chants his verse because he assumed the mood of the gopis. So he was entering into the mood of the gopis, and he was experiencing the mood of the gopis, and then he described Krishna as seen by the gopis, as experienced by the gopis. So this is the platform of Sukadeva Goswami. Even in the 23rd chapter, which is the pastime of the Yajnapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, as Krishna sent the cowherd boys to get some food for their pleasure, they presented the story to the Brahmanas. Brahmanas didn't respond, unfortunately. They didn't respond. They presented the case, but first Brahmanas didn't say anything. They didn't say yes, they didn't say no. Then sarcastically the cowherd boys jokingly tells the verse, and the end of the verse is, "You are all dharma vittama. You are all dharma vittamaha." Means you are very experts in dharma. You know dharma. So he presents the case. We know that if somebody is coming for hunger, because of hunger, you should satisfy them, because you are dharma vittamaha. Still, they didn't speak yes or no. So this is really annoying, right? It can be even disheartening. Actually say yes, otherwise say no. So this is putting in limbo. So cowherd boys were like this. Then finally they said, "Look, this is a technical reason. Accept this particular sacrifice of Savitramani for other sacrifices. In this stage, even one who is conducting the sacrifice, even the Yajamana can eat. There is absolutely no problem in eating. So look, Krishna and Balaram are hungry, give something." Still they didn't. In the next verse, Sukadeva Goswami, he becomes angry. He becomes angry at these Brahmanas, and he could feel what Parikshit Maharaj is experiencing. So he says, Parantapa, Parantapa, what is the meaning of Parantapa? Just chastiser of the enemies. So he says, in the same way, one is telling, okay, we are going to chastise these Brahmanas in that mood. Second, be tolerant. You control your own anger. Even though you are the chastiser of the enemies, now you control your anger. So they were experiencing the pastimes of Krishna. In that way, they were entering into the pastimes of Krishna. And so we can understand the state of renunciation they had was the product of their bhakti. And even this another point from the 29th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, there it is mentioned that when Krishna went to the gopis, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned that Krishna went practically from his heart. That's the commentary given. Krishna entered, or they went to the gopis. He's telling he went from the heart, his heart. So he was experiencing Krishna in his heart, and now he's telling, okay, from his heart, actually Krishna walked out and went to his great devotees. So this is the quality of the devotees on the pure platform. And because of such devotion, they were able to demonstrate renunciation. Otherwise, they cannot show such kind of renunciation. Otherwise, the renunciation we show is nothing but false, because such a renunciation is going to make the heart hard. So that renunciation is heart hardening. We don't want such kind of renunciation. If we have such kind of renunciation, we will become like stone. Jada. Jada Bharat is Jada because of bhakti. He is acting as dumb and deaf because of bhakti, because he was experiencing Krishna in the heart. It's a very important point to understand. Towards the last verse, after Bharat Maharaj becoming a deer, it's mentioned that the deer left the body thinking about Krishna. Then how can he take another birth? Isn't it? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyakta. Is it? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam? Tejyantyante kalavakalevaram tam tam evedikantaya sadatat bhava bhavidha. Now think about it. He actually thought about the Supreme Lord and he left. Then why didn't this deer get a spiritual body and went back to Godhead? So if one has to become a pure devotee, one should have a spiritual body if one is thinking of Krishna at the time of death. And indeed, the deer did that. Bharat Maharaj in the form of deer did that. So it actually shows that Jada Bharat was already with Krishna. He was in the material world. He was acting like dumb and deaf. He was showing extreme renunciation as well. Still, he was with Krishna. He was in the pure devotion platform. He was in Prema Bhakta. And so he demonstrated that. And that's why he's telling about his past. He's telling, okay, what happened as Bharat Maharaj, what happened to him? How he renounced everything, etc. So this is the position of a pure devotee. So devotees do get attracted to Krishna, and that's why here there is a very wonderful description about Krishna's qualities. What is that? What are the qualities mentioned here? Exactly, the six qualities of Krishna. Bhagaha. They are called Bhaga. The six opulences. Six opulences. Aishwaryasya samagrasya veeryasya sapriyaha jnana vairagyasya vashanam bhaga iti ingana. The six opulences of Krishna. And devotees do get attracted to that. And here it is mentioned, if one gets attracted to that, then nothing in this material world is attractive. And Krishna demonstrates his attraction all the time. Even on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's very interesting. Arjuna was completely enamored by the beauty of Krishna. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we can hear that. Because Arjuna says, Totra Kamalapatraksha Mahatmya Vichavayam. He says, Totra Kamalapatraksha, O lotus eyed Krishna. When he hears this, Prabhupada writes, Arjuna was completely attracted by Krishna's beauty. He was not really standing on the battlefield, thinking about the enemies, thinking about the blood, what's going to happen in the future. He has already surrendered. Now it's the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He was completely enamored by the beauty of Krishna. So the Acharya says that Krishna went to the battleground with flower garlands. Who goes to the battlefield with flower garlands? He said he had a Vaijayanti mala even when he went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he was dressed very nicely, just to show off, to attract people even on the battlefield. So that is Krishna. And others say that when Krishna went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there are a lot of dead bodies, isn't it? It's a battlefield. There is a lot of bloodshed. And there are a lot of dead bodies. And there is no good fragrance there, right? Blood doesn't smell very good, right? And the flesh, human flesh, it is very ghastly, isn't it? But it's mentioned, when Krishna went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was fragrance everywhere. The fragrance was emanating from the body of Krishna. So even the most ghastly atmosphere, he can convert into very pleasant, simply because of his presence. So that is the attractive nature of Krishna. And that's why it's mentioned that in the third canto, it's a very nice verse. Tatheva chandiyan arloka veera ya ahave Krishna mukharavindam netre stubhando nayanabhiramam patrastha bhuta padamapurasya. So there it is mentioned that even the great warriors and the senapatis who were standing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they happened to see Krishna mukharavindam. So Krishna's face is like Mukharavindam, it is the lotus face of Krishna. They happen to see lotus face of Krishna, and it is mentioned, not just seeing, netrai pibanto nayanabhiramam. It is enchanting to the eyes. Even in that horrific situation, Krishna's beauty is nayanabhiramam. It is very, very attractive. And even the soldiers and the great leaders in the enemy party happen to drink that beauty. So, netrai pibantaha. They started drinking the beauty of Krishna. Then what happened? But they couldn't drink the beauty of Krishna so much. Why? Why? Exactly. This is a battlefield. This is not a place to drink the beauty. But they couldn't do anything, but they had to drink the beauty of Krishna. But what happened? Parthastra putaha. A very interesting presentation. Partha Astra, the arrows of Arjuna, Putaha, purified. Usually we say chant Hare Krishna and get purified. Chant and be happy. But here on the battlefield, they got purified by the Astra, the arrows of Arjuna. So they got shot by Arjuna, they got killed. Then what happened? Gatim Apurasya, Padam Apurasya. They got the Padam, they got the spiritual world, depending on their consciousness. But many people did go to the spiritual world directly from the battlefield, even though they belonged to Kaurava family or belonged to the Kaurava side. So this is the attractiveness of Krishna, and this is the mercy of Krishna. So yes, there is all reason to be attracted to Krishna. And I always tell this, pastime of Kalayavana, even though he was chasing Krishna to kill him, still Kalayavana was thinking, this person is very handsome. Think about it. If somebody is chasing someone to kill, you think about the consciousness, you think about the mindset, you think about the anger one should have. Can you kill someone without anger? Okay, I'll just kill you. You cannot do that. There has to be anger and chasing to kill, but still he's appreciating the beauty of Krishna. That is the meaning of Krishna. Krishna is someone who is all attractive. Karshati iti Krishna is all attractive. And we can see even pastimes of Mahaprabhu, right? Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, very interesting. Mahaprabhu was accepting sannyas, and the barber who was doing the tonsure, he was hesitant. He said, you know, I can't do this. Why? Because Mahaprabhu's beauty was so amazing. And his body is transcendental. His body is Sachidananda. So his hair is also Sachidananda. That, you know, I cannot cut your hair, I cannot shave your head. And then Mahaprabhu had to convince him in Katua. Mahaprabhu had to convince him to shave him. And finally, he shaved Mahaprabhu. And after that, he went into ecstasy and he became mad. And he said, I will give up. He threw the blade and the knife and everything. He said, I will never do this again. He gave up his profession. He became a pure devotee, associated with the Lord. He became mad seeing the beauty of Mahaprabhu. That's what happened to Purushottamacharya. You will hear who is his personality. Purushottamacharya, you can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He understood that Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas. After hearing that, he didn't want to live in Navadvip anymore. Because he couldn't think of living in Navadvip without Mahaprabhu. So he just ran away from Navadvip. He became mad in ecstasy of separation from Mahaprabhu. And he just left Navadvip and he went to Varanasi to accept sannyas. He said, I am also giving up this world. Purushottamacharya, a great scholar, he met his Mayavadi guru and he got the name Damodar Swarup. He got the name Damodar Swarup. That was his brahmachari name. And then he took sannyas in one sense. In other sense, he didn't take sannyas. Because he didn't accept the sannyas name. Nor did he accept the danda. Nor did he accept the saffron cloth. He just left Banaras and he went to Jagannath Puri to join Mahaprabhu. And finally, he joined Mahaprabhu. And then he became the secretary of Lord Chaitanya. So we can see devotees becoming so attracted to the beauty of Krishna, attractiveness of Krishna, as it is mentioned in this verse. And then they manifest renunciation. That's why we can hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, quotation from Bhagavatam, where it's mentioned, even Lord himself in Dwaraka got attracted to his own beauty, seeing his reflection on the jewels. And that's why Mahaprabhu appeared. He wanted to experience. There's actually another verse in the 11th canto that also makes the same point. Dushtyajan Swarajya Lakshmi. It's talking about Mahaprabhu. One meaning of that verse has three meanings. One meaning is the renunciation of Mahaprabhu. How he gave up Dushtyajan, whatever is very difficult to give up, Swarajya Lakshmi. And then he, Maya Amrgam, so he was just gave up all the attractive possessions, even Mahaprabhu. And then he went to save the conditioned living entities. So here this purport is mentioning the same point, that it doesn't matter whether he is in heaven or hell, what he's going to do, he's going to convince others to become devotees. This is called Uttama Shloka Lalasa. It's mentioned Mahaprabhu did the same thing. Maya Amrgam Daitepsyatam Anvadhavan. What he did? He ran behind materialistic people who are after material possessions and material enjoyment. Mahaprabhu ran behind them to convert them into the devotees. So that's why he gave up Dushtyajan. So yes, there are multiple meanings, multiple reasons for him to accept the form of Mahaprabhu. One is certainly to experience the love that is experienced by Srimati Radharani, to experience the happiness and to experience the sweetness of Krishna as experienced by Srimati Radharani. But in the external reason that is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is, he wanted to save the conditioned beings. And Mahaprasila Prabhupada mentioned this point very strongly in this purport. So that is the real purpose of renunciation. So even if you consider the literal renunciation of sannyas, sannyas is not accepted in Kali Yuga generally. There are few things which are prohibited in the Kali Yuga. One is sannyas, right? Ashwamedham Gavalambham Sannyasam Palavaidrugam. So these are the four things not accepted, allowed in Kali Yuga. But sannyas is allowed in the Vaishnava tradition because sannyas or renunciation is not the means of purification. Rather, it's a means for preaching. So it's accepted. So that's why that's a strong mood that is coming about here in this purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then such a devotee is ready to go anywhere and preach Krishna consciousness. And so the attractiveness is that of the Krishna, and that is the driving force. And then finally it is mentioned, it is even superior to liberation. A devotee is not worried about, you know, salokya, sarupya, samipya, srashti, right? Because why? Vina matsevanam janaha. If one doesn't have the service of the Lord, then one is not interested in all this, you know, sarupya, srashti, salokya, sarupya, not interested in any of these kind of liberations, because the important thing is service to the Lord. And that is the meaning of Uttama Shloka Lalasa. Here it is mentioned, Uttama Shloka Lalasa, again in this వర్స్ రైట్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోక లాలస దర్ ఇస్ ద సర్వీస్ అన్ టు ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్. సో అవర్ ఎయిమ్ ఈజ్ టు నో అబౌట్ కృష్ణ, సర్వ్ కృష్ణ. We need to know something about Krishna, and the aim is to serve Krishna, and in that way we can be attracted to Krishna, and then we all can have the real wealth of renunciation. So it is the wealth of a devotee to have renunciation. It's considered wealth because then one can practice bhakti more, and that renunciation is not necessarily literal renunciation. It can be yukta vairagya, because it has to be used, everything has to be used in Krishna's service. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, such a devotee is trying always to convince others about Krishna. Okay, is there any questions or comments? Yeah.
Prabhupada, you mentioned about not to renounce, but you gave examples of how different devotees were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then we should not renounce without having that absorption, right? But sometimes we see that, you know, you after hearing series of nice lectures, or you know, you have some realizations, and you know, that allows us some absorption, some little absorption in bhakti, and you know, with that absorption, sometimes you know, you feel like renouncing certain parts of your material life. So. But then, of course, you know, that absorption is not lasting very long. And so can you elaborate on that a little bit? So, on a practical level.
So the question is, if you hear a lecture or read something, we may feel absorbed and we may have some inclination and courage to give up unwanted things and unwanted habits, etc., or thoughts. However, after that, it wears off. So how can we have such inclination sustained? The answer is, regulation is very important. Regulation means, if we have reading, we have steady reading. If we are hearing, we have steady hearing, etc. Regulated hearing, reading, etc. So in regulation what happens, we don't need to preach to our mind to read. That's called habit. Habit means we don't need intelligence. We have used enough intelligence to train the mind. Then every time we don't need to use our intelligence to convince the mind. For example, if you get up in the morning to take a shower, we don't need to convince. But for kids, they need that training. Okay, you have to take bath, otherwise you will stink, you will do that, will this happen, that happen, or some stories. Because there is the intelligence is used to convince the mind. Similarly, even for us, initially to develop a habit, we need to use our intelligence to train our mind. But once the mind is trained, then the habit energy will kick in. That is good. So that's why good habits are good and bad habits are bad. Because both are unconscious competence. Because if the habit energy is ready, what can you do? One will act in the same way. Similarly, when it comes to absorption, the cause of absorption is proper hearing, chanting, reading, etc. So if you are regulated in these activities, then naturally mind can be trained. So it becomes a second habit. Make sense? That's the practical thing. Practical thing is we had to push ourselves to come to regulation.
In terms of renunciation, that I wanted to ask you. So, in terms of what is advised for such devotees who have some absorption for some time? So, in terms of renunciation, they would okay. Now I feel like not eating so much, and I feel like going to temple more. You know, some devotees do that.
If one is a grihastha, one has to fulfill the responsibilities. The responsibilities. One is, of course, providing materially and spiritually, both are responsibilities. So it is not sufficient that we provide materially only. That is insufficient. So one has to provide spiritually as well. Then it is fine. And after that, one can certainly do more and more services. Okay. So there is no limit to it. Yeah.
So Prabhu, when the deer left his body, Jaipara left his body in the deer, and you were saying he was already with Krishna because he was thinking of Krishna when he left and he came back, but he was with Krishna anyway.
Yes.
But clearly Krishna says, Punar Janma Na Vidyate, you know, and even Janma Karma's marriage of your own.
Yes.
Tattva, you know, Punar Janma Naiti, you know, you do not have to put
Yes. It is possible by the will of Krishna to teach others. Say, for example, why then pure devotees come to this material world? Puna janma na vidyate. So we can see even great acharyas, Prabhupada, many other acharyas. Why did they come to the material world even though puna janma na vidyate? The reason is, otherwise there is no hope for the conditioned living beings. So Krishna comes, his representatives come. So that is because of the mercy of Krishna. I think you can speak on that.
I just want one more comment. I was thinking about how he's talking about Krishna's beauty, and then soldiers died of Arjuna's arrows. And even with Mahaprabhu's verse, there's Sankupa, Astra, Varsha.
Yes.
And Astra is in this case beauty, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. One meaning of Astra in case of Sangopanga, Astra, Parshadam is beauty. I think Jiva Goswami mentions that. When someone sees Mahaprabhu, they become devotees, they become pure devotees. That's how Mahaprabhu was preaching in the South Indian tour. He'll go to a village, he'll go to the center of the village, some devotees will chant, some devotees will sing, and Mahaprabhu will dance, Mahaprabhu will sing, and just seeing that, those who were around him would become pure devotees. And they will go, they will meet other people, they were also chanting and dancing. Someone else will see that, they will also become devotees. In that way, the whole village became pure devotees. Then he will move on. In that way, he was preaching Krishna consciousness. He was not speaking a word other than Krishna's holy name. There was no preaching, there was no class, there was no Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam lectures going on. It wasn't there. So it is mentioned. Mahaprabhu preached to people in general by chanting. And those who had some intelligence through philosophy, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, etc. So we can see that difference, yeah. Hare Krishna, yeah.
You were mentioning that Sukadeva Swami, while speaking Bhagavatam, he entered the mood of the gopis and then he would enter the pastime. So the question is, how this personality is, who may not be. Because when you say you enter the mood of gopis, that means he has the realizations of gopis, how they are dealing with Krishna. So how, if someone is not on that platform, maybe in a different rasa, how can they enter a superior or a different rasa and experience that? Is there any question?
Yeah. It's a general question or a... Or Sukadeva Goswami. Are you speaking about Sukadeva Goswami or someone else in this question? Sukadeva
Goswami specific example.
Yeah.
Many devotees, they may not be on a dual rasa, but they can still release the pastime. How do they enter that rasa if they are not even having access to that rasa? They may be attached to a different rasa.
Okay. In the spiritual world, whatever rasa one has, center is Radha and Krishna. Center of rasa is Radha and Krishna. Whatever rasa one has. Everyone is assisting Radha and Krishna in different ways, that's all. So don't think that gopas do not know about Radha and Krishna. So there are different gopas with different intimacies with Krishna as well. And they do engage in those pastimes in different capacities. So rasa is not a barrier in assisting Radha and Krishna in their own ways and means and capacity.
Can we say also that occasionally the knowledge you have is going to support you to explain about those points?
Yes, definitely. No, here Sukadeva Goswami, what are you speaking? Sukadeva Goswami, who is Sukadeva? He's Shuka, he's parrot. He knows the whole thing. He's the one who is singing the... He's giving the message to Radha and Krishna. He's, what is his problem explaining this? What is his problem understanding the mood of the gopis? He doesn't have any problem. He's already from that platform.
Yes, he was just
exactly, that's what I... What's the problem for him explaining anything? So that's why it is... Shukamukhada amrtadrava samyutam. It has even been sweetened by the mouth, the beak of the parrot of Shuka. So Shukamukhada amrtadrava samyutam. So it has become even tastier. But Shuka knows what is most tastier. A parrot knows what is tastier. It doesn't going to go and bite, you know, an unripened mango. You might have seen the birds, you know, we look for one mango and you can see the bird going and eating. Parrots going and eating, you say, oh, what happened? So they are the best mangoes, most ripened. The same way, Sukadeva Goswami, he knows. So that's why he's able to present exactly the same thing. But when you talk about rasa in terms of one's realization, one's absorption, if one is very elevated, they get absorbed in the pastime which they want to, because they are already on that platform. So of course, they can explain everything, but still, their absorption can be something else. So that is one's personal desire.
And
then
when
you
see
that
God is God,
He
is.
Yes. Give them a mic. Hare Krishna.
For grahasthas, if you just see generally, we are renunciation is very abstract. We cannot renounce until we get attached to something which is higher.
Yes, it's for everyone. It's true.
So, right. So from a grahastha point of view, should we focus more on renunciation or more on bhakti? Because bhakti will naturally, it should lead to renunciation, right? Or we see that we are more attached in some way or the other in some other form. So how do we understand that?
Renunciation means no attraction for sense gratification. Very good. Because then you will be able to think about Krishna. Isn't it? If the mind is not disturbed, very easy to think about Krishna. Have you noticed? That's all. So it's whether Grihastha, Brahmachari, Sannyasi, anyone, it's the same principle. It'll happen. When Grihe Thako, Hare Thako, what is that? Sada Hari Bole Thako. That's it. Where is the mind is? How can you see that? Where is our mind is at? Okay, see the quality of our chanting. While chanting Krishna's name, we know where is our mind, where our mind is going. Then a reflection of that you can see during the day. So ashram really doesn't matter a lot. We can see whatever consciousness we have. So we have to work with that.
You also mentioned that the point of renunciation is Jutta Vaidhavana.
Yes.
It's not just give up.
Exactly.
So
yes. Definitely, Yukta Vairagya. So if mind is absorbed in Krishna, mind is very advanced, then naturally the situation will be used in Krishna service. So where everything starts, start with our steps. Good chanting, good service. Take it from there and things will unfold. Okay. You want to give the microphone?
Just how Krishna says in Gita that people who are too attached to Bhoga and Aishwarya,
yeah,
they can't take up devotional service, they can't be determined about it, and you mentioned it. And in our congregation, we see so many Grihastha devotees are there, and so sincere and so serious. So from that, how can we say that they're not that much attached to their...
Yeah, of course. Bhogaisharya prasaktanam tayabharuda chedasam evasayakatmika buddhi samadhana vidhiyade. Definitely. Yeah, it's a very good point that being a grihastha, we can see, it's a very good point actually. In our congregation, we can see there are many devotees who have material opulence. They are doing well, but they are enthusiastic in service. They are chanting nice rounds, they have good understanding of Bhagavatam, they are taking effort to read Bhagavatam, study Bhagavatam, etc. Yes, that is it. That shows, that is a demonstration there is not much attachment. If one is too attached, then one wants to make more money, no time for Bhagavatam, no time for preaching, etc. Yeah, very good point, yes, definitely. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much, Grandpa Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hari Hari.